Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. If you want to contact us, please do, at the usual way, hivhour@gmail.com and Twitter and Instagram at @HIV_hour.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story.
Radio Reverb. Well, hello, how are you? Good afternoon, good evening, what am I on about? Good evening.
Depends on when our listeners are tuning in, isn't it, really?
That's very true. How are you both?
I'm fine. How are you, Tony?
Doing well, yeah. Seem to be having another spurt of summer, pardon the expression, aren't we? So it's beautiful down here on the coast. Yeah.
Ooh, nice and sunny, but a bit chilly, though,
Yes. Yep. Well, autumn. I like autumn. Actually, it's a nice time to watch the nature. Nature's changing and the flowers.
Yes,
and the leaves.
It is.
Just to say that was David Guetta's new single with Sia, "Let's Love."
Very nice.
Very 80s.
Very good.
Yeah. So, what's on the show today, then, guys?
Well, we've got quite a few things actually. We have got an interview from someone called Martin Harris. He works actually at the Terence Higgins Trust, and he is going to be talking about a new project that perhaps some of our listeners could sort of get involved with. I mean, obviously, we've got one of the biggest, not just for the Terence Higgins Trust, but for every HIV organisation and charity, we've got one of the biggest events coming up this year, World AIDS Day, and admittedly, yep, it is going to be very different this year. So, and that goes with more sort of planning and what we're going to do. Everything, a lot of stuff's more or less going to be via online, digital. But no, Martin's going to be talking about how people could get involved with Volunteer Ambassador, and it's, you know, what they could do for World AIDS Day, and you know, that's going to be quite interesting. Yeah, that's an interview with Martin.
Well, we all live totally different lives now, don't we, than we used to.
Definitely, absolutely.
Due to Corona, so yeah.
So sorry, sir, we didn't ask. How, what have you been up to this week?
Going into things.
Oh, really?
On a work perspective. Well, no, what it was, guys, last week, I went on to a new show. It's on Channel 4, and it's called Steph's Packed Lunch. I keep calling it Lunchbox, but it's not. It's called Steph's Packed Lunch.
And
the reason why I'm telling our listeners that could catch up with the show to see the interview. And basically what it was, I got asked to go on there because a couple of weeks ago it was SDI week, and a lot of the stats have come out to say there's a higher prevalence in SDIs in the over 45. So I was asked to go on. I was asked to go on to Steph's show. I was originally supposed to go up to Leeds to sit on the sofa with Steph, but...
Check you out.
I know, but with all the goings-on and the changing of what's happening, I done it. It was live. It was live to a live audience, which was a bit scary, I have to say. But it was done via Zoom, and it was about a five-minute interview, and it was really interesting. So, I spoke about some of the stats. I spoke about a woman over the age of, 47 when I got diagnosed with HIV, and perhaps thought, you know, SDIs were for the younger generation. And to be quite honest, I think that some older people think, you know, they get to a certain age, and especially a woman, premenopausal, I'm not going to get pregnant, and surely do I really have to worry about STIs? And one of the messages I was trying to convey on the show is that, you know, we're living longer, guys, aren't we? We're paying our money, we're paying our taxes and our rents for longer. And you know what? We are playing longer. That means we're having sex well into our 50s, 60s, 70s, and don't shock, into our 80s. So there is a consequence to that. And the consequence is we need further education and information on how to keep ourselves safe and protected, really.
Yeah, you're saying that, Sue, like Hugh Hefner was having sex, well, so he reckons, up until like very late in life.
Right, yes.
So, how old was he?
Was he nearly 90 or so? Gosh knows. I know. I don't know.
We have all the. We do have all these things where we preconceptions of.
Yes.
You know, when you get older, you're not sexual, and it's just very good to have it on shows that
of course, you know. I mean, this was a prime time, it was a brand new show, so only been running a few weeks, and it was literally on a prime time, so hopefully, you know, my message would hit out. If you're sitting in the lounge there waiting for someone to knock on your door to say, oh, yeah, by the way, you need to go for a test, you may not get that knock at the door, because, you know, there's not an awful lot of signs and symptoms for STIs, and certainly not always for HIV. So hopefully I've got that measure. But I really enjoy doing that, guys, because, you know,
it was a good interview.
You know, what we do on the show, we're trying to get information out, aren't we? We do that through our storytelling, we do that through interviews, we talk about just talking about what's going on in Brighton and the city and, you know, outside the world at large. So it's just another way, really, to get information out there that, you know, it's okay to have sex. Of course it is, but we need to take care of ourselves. But no, I enjoy doing that, and that was good.
Yeah. Yes, and you came across very well when I was watching.
Yeah.
Yes. So well done, Sue.
Thank you.
Well done, that lady.
Let me tell you about a thrill.
Radio Reverb. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and DAB online. You've just been listening to Faithless. We've got an enormous privilege in the studio today. We're going to be talking to Martin Harris from the Terence Higgins Trust, and I'm going to let him tell you what he does at the Terence Higgins Trust and some of the great work that he's doing at the moment. Welcome, Martin.
Hi, Sue.
So, tell the listeners, obviously, what is your role at the Terence Higgins Trust?
Yeah, so I've been with the charity since February. So I joined kind of pre-COVID lockdown. I had about 4 or 5 weeks in the office before I had to end up working from home. So I spent more time working at home now than I have in the office.
But So I
belong to the community fundraising team, and we look after all our fundraisers, all our amazing supporters who are out there doing things like quiz nights for us, tribute nights, virtual pub quizzes, all these kind of things like running 10Ks, 5Ks, London Marathon and things like that, really. So we're really fortunate to have some people that go out and do some amazing things for us.
Brilliant. So I take it and I sense that you're quite passionate of what you're wanting to try and achieve.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an amazing charity. When I was diagnosed with HIV about 15 years ago, Terence Higgins Trust was the first charity that I kind of turned to for help and advice, and they really supported me when I had been diagnosed. And I actually accessed the services, the counselling services at THT, which I did for 10 weeks, and I was just blown away by the support of the counsellor there. And I always remember when I left on the last session, I just said to her that I was just so grateful, and I thanked her for her time, and I said, what a great job. And she said, well, it's a kind of a job, she said, but I'm a volunteer. And I was just like, oh wow, really? I just had no idea that she was actually a volunteer for the charity. And then I wanted to give something back myself. So then I ended up going and joining THT as a helpline volunteer for 2 years. So it's a charity I've always felt really, really connected to personally. And when I got the job there back in February, I was just thrilled, because even in this day and age, with things like PrEP and the great medications we have and people living long, healthy lives, it's still a charity where the services are still needed by so many people. And I think it's just a great organisation and quite well respected, hopefully, within the HIV community.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something about counselling, and even now, even through this COVID and beyond, the Terence Higgins Trust are still offering the free service online with counselling. So, you know, we're still able to sort of continue that, which is absolutely amazing. And especially, as you can imagine, in these really testing and trying times for some people living with HIV, would you agree?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think people probably forgot over lockdown that people were still being diagnosed and still living with HIV and some very stressful periods of their lives, because everything, rightly so, kind of shifted their focus onto to COVID. But yeah, I know that the accessing the services online was something that a lot of people turned to. And I was always quite surprised when I joined the charity, because I thought, well, these days surely people just go onto Google and kind of reach out on Twitter or social media for help. But there is still a big need, and maybe rightly so, that people need that kind of one-to-one support and care for a very stressful period of time. And I know it really helped me. So yes, if people do go to our website, they can access those services and other services like our helpline. And we also have a forum, an HIV forum. Where people go and share stories and experiences. And yeah, I've had the privilege of sort of being able to go in there as someone living with HIV myself and look at some of the things that are conversations that are going on there. And yeah, just a really nice community to help each other and support each other.
I think one of the great things about the Terence Higgins Trust, and let me just say to all the listeners tuning in, and we do speak about all the local HIV charities throughout Brighton and throughout the UK, but one of the great things about the Terence Higgins Trust is it's been going over 35 years. It's an established charity that is for the community, and you know, and it's forever changing, and it's had to, you know, that there's, you know, if we sort of look at back at the 80s and the 90s, and that now we're in the, you know, 2020, it's evolved throughout the decades. So and I think it's so established, I think it sort of gives, when you said, oh, you know, about people perhaps going on Google, I remember when I was first diagnosed myself, I think that's the first place I went on Google, and some one said to me, don't do that, don't do that.
Google's not always the best
party. go to an organization that is sort of has its worth, and obviously I was signposted myself to the Terence Higgins Trust, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why, especially I suppose if some people are newly diagnosed, they want to have, you know, they're scared anyway, and they want to have to speak to someone or an organization that knows exactly what's going on, would you say?
Yeah. Definitely. And I think obviously in this day and age with things where sometimes there's just too much information out there, isn't there? And it's just kind of like, where can I go where it's just trusted information, up to date, and people are just going to not sugarcoat it and basically just kind of help and just tell it as it is. And I just, I remember just thinking of the name, and it's just so trusted. And of course, there are so many other amazing HIV charities across the UK providing local services as well. So I know in London, like there's so many other organisations which do an amazing job as well. But yes, and like I say, it's just, for me, it's just an organisation where I've just got such good fond memories, and I had such a great time. It sounds really strange, but when I was diagnosed, I just really wanted to speak to other people, but educate myself, and going onto the helpline, I really kind of educated myself and got an opportunity to speak to other people. And it's a little bit selfish, but I used to think away when I walked away sometimes that, wow, my situation is not as bad as some other people's. It really, really did help me. And yeah, and the helpline's been there brilliant, because obviously through COVID, there's been so much information about if you're HIV positive, should you be shielding and all that kind of... Did you shield too?
I felt like I was, but no, I didn't. But yeah, but you know, that's I'll be absolutely honest. I was quite anxious at the start of this. I mean, and I'm thinking, and at the very beginning, I mean, we did, after the first couple of weeks, even to the month, we had a bit more information coming out with people living with HIV. Should the shield? What are the risks and all this? And it was clarified, quite rightly so. But that first couple of weeks, I have to admit, I was quite anxious, because the information actually wasn't there at the very beginning, and I'm thinking, should I have to lock myself away? Or, you know, but obviously as the information started coming through, I thought, well, you know, okay, I lived with a controlled virus. I'm taking my medication. I've got no other health conditions. So I, you know, but I mean, I think a lot of people got anxious at the beginning, you know, when it when all the messages, and I mean, this message is still coming out, and goodness, what's going to happen, you know? So, but yeah,
I can remember because I don't know if you, but I had like the pneumonia jab was recommended, and I remember thinking, well, it's a respiratory illness, I'll be fine, I've had that, and it's kind of like, oh, hang on a minute, is that right? I'm just assuming just because I've had a pneumonia jab, am I going to be a little bit COVID immune? And obviously there was lots of stories about if you're taking antiretrovirals that potentially you're more immune. So and I know a lot of people did turn to THT and our helpline for advice, and just shows that our services are still needed. So
absolutely. So let's go back to this brilliant work that you're doing, and perhaps what you'd like perhaps to get perhaps some of our listeners interested in it, involved in doing, you know.
So previously to coming from to THT, I worked for Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity for 12 years, and I had a network of ambassadors, and joining THT, I'm sort of setting up now an ambassador team for the Terence Higgins Trust, which is really, it's a very flexible volunteer role. We're trying to encourage people to join us, who are people that are kind of passionate about smashing stigma, changing people's opinions on HIV. And you don't have to be positive or necessarily to join the team. We've got some people with sort of mixed backgrounds and motivations. And our ambassadors, they're out there sort of helping spread the word of our work, but also helping us fundraise. And it's been such a challenging time for so many charities this year. Yeah. And obviously, again, rightly so much goodwill towards the NHS, but a lot of charities are really suffering and will suffer over the next sort of 12 to 24 months because income is down. So, looking to get people involved who maybe want to do some fundraising. And also we're building up to World AIDS Day, which is, as you probably know, one of the biggest days for the HIV community. So we'll have lots of fundraising ideas coming out with that. So really, a network of volunteers. If you can fundraise, brilliant, but obviously people are busy and with their jobs and personal lives. So I think the beauty of the role really is that people could just dip in and out of it as and when they please, really. And also geographically, you can be anywhere really in the UK to get involved. And it's also about inspiring others. When I look back to Great Ormond Street, and I'm so privileged to have so many volunteers helping me. Some of our best volunteers didn't actually raise a penny for the charity, but they were just out there kind of championing our cause, inspiring others. Maybe they belong to a golf club or a Rotary club, or they go to a pub quiz or something, and they can just say, well, actually, do you think you could maybe think about doing it for THT? So, and really any penny, pound, raised is really
absolutely
great.
And quite right, you say World AIDS Day this year is going to be so different for every single HIV organization. Things are going to have to be done differently, you know, new initiatives are going to have to be thought and sought, you know, and it's doing them, even the little things, like you said, Martin, you know, perhaps doing little things within your community to raise funds and money for, you know, whether it's the Terence Higgins Trust or another local charity.
It's
even doing something small, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And we've got sort of ambassadors and supporters now who are sort of thinking, well, is there going to be a lockdown in December? So maybe we'll do something virtually.
Yeah.
We're really delighted that RuPaul Drag Race star Charlie Hyde is going to be doing some bingo for us on the 1st
Brilliant.
Of December. So tickets will be going on sale for that, which is really, really good fun. Charlie does an amazing show every Sunday night. And then also, we're very conscious it's COVID and face-to-face activities. We need to make sure that people are safe, and that's our biggest priority. We don't want people doing things in big groups.
But maybe
just going out, we've got also this idea of Walk the Ribbon, where people could maybe potentially think about planning a walk with some friends, maybe a walk down the seafront, maybe out on the canal or a pub crawl or something like that. Just planning a little walk, maybe setting up a Just Giving page and raising some money for us. But just keeping it really simple and easy, because there's so much going on in the world at the moment. So
There is.
Yeah.
So, Martin, how can people get involved? How can someone's listening think, wow, I want to help Martin and support the Terence Higgins Trust. What can I do? How can I contact?
Brilliant. Well, yes, they can call me. Well, actually, easy if they email me on martin.harris@tht.org.uk. So that's my email address, martin.harris@tht.org.uk. Or if they go to our website, which is tht.org.uk, they'll find details about our World AIDS Day fundraising ideas and our ambassador role as well. If people are listening and they are interested in getting involved, please don't be intimidated by the word fundraising, because even if they're just passionate about, sort of like I said before, changing people's opinions about HIV or helping us to spread the word about our work, then we'd still love to hear from them. And obviously if people can fundraise, that's a bonus.
and like you said, Martin, you know, we are all in this together. And
yeah.
Absolutely, you know, we have a target by 2030 we want to end HIV transmission and hopefully eradicate HIV stigma, and that means every single community and organization coming together, and World AIDS Day is a massive point to try and do that. So
yeah, it's a really great focus for us, like you say, all to come together, and there's so many different motivations for people wanting to fundraise and do something, whether that's in memory of a loved one or just to change opinions, and obviously we appreciate that people are not always open about their status, and that's still fine. You can still be involved, and we understand that. So, and also people who may be interested in sharing their stories, we're always looking for people that may have used our services at THT or want to sort of talk about openly about their status and living with HIV and maybe why they do support our charity, because that's really helpful and inspiring to others as well. But and I was just really inspired when I joined about the motivations, because we've got people like medical students joining, and we've got people who are sort of working in sort of the LGBT community, whether that's helping pride events or sometimes people working at sexual health clinics, and just a really diverse background and motivations.
Sure. It's brilliant. Martin, I want to thank you so much for coming
Thanks
on
for
the show.
Me.
No, I mean, let's hope we all have an amazing World AIDS Day this year. It's going to be incredibly different, and like you say, it's not necessarily giving money, it's the taking part, and it's an opportunity for us to all come together at an incredibly important time of the year. So I hope people get in contact with you. I'll put your details onto the HIV Hour Gmail account so they can contact us there again. So I want to say thank you for coming on, and I want to wish you luck to the run-up to World AIDS Day and all the work that you're doing at THT.
Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Martin.
Radio Reverb. Got questions about sex and relationships, sex, relationships and HIV, or just wellness, or just good stuff? You've got questions, we've got answers. Just email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Take care, bye.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM or on radioreverb.com. I'm Tony and joined by Sue and Josh.
Hi, and welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, so we're going to do our new feature now, which is we just listened to the audio of the advert that we're putting out on social media. So, we're going to do some question answers. What's a question you've got, Sue? Because we've got a couple.
Well, my first question, and it's a question from Claire. And Claire sent us an email last week, and she says, I'm newly pregnant and worried about HIV. Where can I go and get a test, and what is the procedure? Well, first of all, Claire, congratulations, first of all, a massive,
yeah,
big,
yeah,
especially, yes, in these very different times. A very big congratulations on your pregnancy. Now then, obviously, I'm going to tell you what I know, but there's lots of information. The guys might want to join in as well, but there's lots of information you can go and get, and quite locally as well. So basically, if a HIV positive woman gets pregnant, and first of all, if she doesn't know she's positive, she would probably be offered a HIV test pregnancy, and that all forms part of her antenatal screening. Now, so basically, if you're not offered a HIV test, I would definitely ask for one. And don't be embarrassed. I would be very surprised if they do not offer you one, you know, throughout your early weeks and months of pregnancy. And the idea is to get mum on medication if she is pregnant. So basically, if it was to come back clear that you were positive, they will offer you HIV medication immediately. Now, the medication is not going to affect your unborn fetus. But the medication is going to make it safe for you to deliver your baby in the way that you want to deliver it. In other words, you know, you can have a vaginal birth or you can have a cesarean section. It's entirely up to you. So basically, the medication will stop the virus being passed on to your unborn fetus, which is absolutely amazing. So basically, your baby will be born, and they will probably test your little one as well, just to double check. They will probably advise you at the time not to breastfeed and just go on to formula. But, you know, and just here's the thing, Claire, I've got a very good friend of mine. 2 weeks ago, she's positive. She has been since she was born, actually, and she's just given birth to a little lad, a lovely little boy. And
wicked.
Yeah, I know. And he is negative. Gorgeous little chap he is. And so, you know, the stats now in the UK is amazing. But you know that doesn't take away the scariness, does it, Josh or Tony? You know, we still worry, don't we? It doesn't, you know, if you are, if you're not, you can, you know, visit the National Health Service, you know, you're going to have a midwife, you're going to have those health professions that are going to be guiding you. Ask as many questions as you want. Yeah, anything totally. Else you guys would like to add with that to reassure Claire at all?
Well, I was going to say it's probably a very scary time when you're pregnant. So it's probably even
definitely
more
at the moment.
So, yeah, so if you've got the support around family and friends as well, they will that would help as well, I think, as well as
definitely
the information
definitely
that you need.
I mean, also you've got the Lawson and the Rowlands Road clinics. They've got nurses there now. They've got nurses there, and they do like the phone thing or over Zoom. So, you know, if she has got any questions, she could always, you know, maybe give one of the clinics a ring and just go through the initial things.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a nerve-wracking time, you know, anyway, regardless of anything else involved. You know, when you're newly pregnant, you're excited, but, you know, you've got all those emotions and you've got, you know, is baby going to be fine? Am I going to be fine? Am I or not? You know, there's a lot of support out there, especially, I think, at the moment. But, you know, we want to wish you on Radio Reverb, the HIV Hour, the most great of luck for the future and your
family. Totally.
Keep tuning in. Yeah,
keep tuning in. Yes.
Let us know.
Yes, please. So who's got the next question from one of our listeners?
Well, I've got one from Robert. Ooh. And he is asking, hey Robert, he's asking, he has hep C and HIV. And he doesn't like protective sex. He likes unprotected sex. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to know how to keep his partner safe. So what are our thoughts on that, guys?
I would say, I mean, I've had hepatitis C a few years ago, and I went through the treatment, which was then quite severe. It's changed a lot now, I think, hasn't it? It's a bit more easier to do. At the time, I mean, I wasn't in a relationship at the time, but I didn't feel like having sex at that time.
Yeah.
To be honest. I just wanted to get through the treatment. But I think I would, finding other ways of having sex or, you know.
I mean, there are so many ways. I mean, I, like you, Josh, I went through Hep C as well. And like 56 weeks, I had to have the injections and the tablets and I felt like crap. Sorry. I felt like rubbish for that year. And I just didn't want anyone. I was with someone at the time and I was like that. Keep to your side of the bed and I'll stay to my side. That's how it happens. And I think it's just, I mean, personally for me, I'm in a wheelchair now. I've got spine issues and I've had to adapt the way I have to do things. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's, I just think we, you know, just adapt. You'll find other ways of doing things and, you know, you can.
No, it's true. I think you're right. No, I think you do. It's about adapting. It's about adapting to your situation. And also because the treatment now is shorter. It's not as long now. So it's a little bit easier in that way. It's still a tough thing to do, I think. But it's not as long to wait and to maybe change things a little bit.
And like and you also, say, Josh, I'm just thinking because I have my good friend John, he doesn't mind me saying his name, but I mean, he went through Hep C and he's now cured of it, which is amazing. I mean, there's really great things happening with HIV and Hep C, isn't there, guys? So,
totally.
You know, so there's lots of positive things, but, you know, how do you sort of get around those?
I think it's a hard negotiation.
How do you navigate through those things? You know, we've got to, you know, because we need to still take care of ourselves as well, don't we? So
I think, I think maybe Robert needs to have a talk and see what's important to them as a couple, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See what's important to them, you know, and just take advice from the community nurse specialists, things like that. Health professionals, definitely. And just see how they go. But obviously, you know, the dating world has completely turned on its head now.
Oh, hasn't it?
With COVID.
Oh.
You know,
Here's just another last thought for Robert. Why not
literally
have that conversation with your partner, but also with the guidance of the health profession?
Hey, that's a good idea. Sort of like mediation kind of thing. Not mediation.
Yeah, so, you know, have that conversation together. Then you've got that, you know, options that can look over options and things, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that'd be, I think that'd be really good for him to do. Obviously, keep listening to us, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
Update information.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think he'd be happy with that.
Oh, yeah, good luck, Robert. That's
good luck.
So how does, if anyone's got a question or they want any questions they want to ask us, how do they get in contact?
Tony, how do our listeners get in contact if they want to email?
So you can contact us with your questions at hivr@gmail.com. Instagram and Twitter are hiv_our. And that's us.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good little feature, actually. I think it helps a lot of people, actually, when people listen to these kind of, because the questions that people want to know, aren't they? Some, you know, the kind of important questions, you know.
Yeah, I think also if it's not actually seeing someone face to face, which people sometimes get a bit, you know, not embarrassed, but if they.
Yeah, the
there's someone that you're right in.
You're right, Tony. Writing it down or sending a message at me. Well, hey, it's whatever gets that inquisitive talking and thinking, isn't it? You know, so whether it's an email or definitely. Yeah,
totally.
Radio Reverb.
Right, guys, I don't know whether you're aware, but there is a new dating app.
Oh, fabulous.
And that put a smile on all your faces. I can see you believe.
Yeah, single and ready to mingle. Oh, yeah.
I know. Now, it's called positiveplusone.com. It's a new dating app.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been launched in the UK in just this year, just about a month or so ago. The app is free to download and join, with an optional paid features to tailor and enhance the experiences. All accounts must be verified via a mobile number, so obviously need a mobile number. But no, I mean, it seems really interesting. If you want to get some more information, as I say, go to www.positiveplusone.com.
So the wait is finally over for PrEP in England. The government have announced the PrEP grant determination for 2020 to 21. This means councils in England can finally provide uncapped access to the game-changing HIV prevention drug. This was delayed due to the COVID-19 epidemic, but the rollout of PrEP is now expected to begin from the 1st of October. Richard Angel, Head of Policy and Public Affairs at Terence Higgins Trust, said the Health Department has finally allocated funds to local government to start the rollout. There should now be nothing standing in the way of this important HIV transmission prevention drug finally becoming a reality in England. This follows years of painstaking battling and further delays due to COVID-19. He also says that now they need to see PrEP made more rapidly available across the country. The wait has been too long. We know hard-working local officials and many clinics put the wheels in motion for a start in October launch to make the most of this game-changer for HIV prevention. This allocation of funds should mean people are ready to go. More work is needed to ensure all groups affected by HIV know about PrEP and how to access it. But this is undoubtedly an important step forward as we work towards ending HIV transmissions in England by 2030. Now, we've got some stats, actually. 11.2 million was allocated to local councils. Here's some of the figures. London got nearly half, 46%, just over 5 million. Birmingham gets, it's around about 5%, 300,000. Manchester, 262,000. And Brighton and Hove gets 229,000. So that's about 5% of it. And you can check out your own local funding by going to www.gov.uk and HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis. I always get that wrong. Grant determination 2020 to 2021. This money has to be spent by the end of the financial year, so that's April 2022. But going forward, Terence Higgins Trust and local government have called for it to be 16 million per annum. So thank you for tuning in to the HIV Hour tonight. Take care. Good night.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.